Blog Talk Radio.
You know, we went from having a pretty good show for today to being great. A little bit of a Florida feel. Let's get the show started. Me and Ryan Stern.
Yeah.
Sports Talk Radio on the air. Randy Zelia, along with Ryan Stern, back with me. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Randy. Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You know, like I said in the opening there, we went from having a pretty good show because, you know, we had some good topics to talk about. A lot of things going on in the sports world. You know, Selection Sunday, NBA, NFL Free Agency, World Baseball Classic, NHL. It feels like NHL's finally getting into gear after the slow start. So now we have like a really, really cool guest, and the guy who I grew up listening to, I know you grew up listening to in New York sports market. We have the great Sid Rosenberg, who's down in Florida. Looking forward to having him on and talking with him, and just talking, especially basketball with him. You know, when I lived in Florida for a year, Sid was working with 790 The Ticket, and he would talk Knicks basketball because at the time, you know, it was Shaq and Wade, but he made sure he got his daily fix of Knicks talking. So, you know, it's like, I like kind of how you promoted him too. Is was it Shock Jock?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, he's a great guest, and I'm looking forward to talking with him. If you want to talk with us today, 760-283-0846. You want to yell at me, yell at Ryan. Feel free to yell at Ryan all day. Me, I'm a little sick. 760-283-0846. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/backsportspage. And also, find us on Twitter at Back Sports Page and at Real Sports Talk Radio. That's on Facebook as well. There's so much to go on to. I'm pulling up the list of remaining free agents in the NFL free agent tracker, and I got to tell you, man, do you know who this free agency is turning a nightmare for? That's Victor Cruz of the New York Giants. And we had Charles Curtis on with us 2 weeks ago, and at the time we just didn't know what the market was going to bring for Victor Cruz. And I'll tell you what's scaring a lot of people away from Victor Cruz is the fact that if the Giants decide not to match any crazy offer, the Giants get a first-round pick.
Right, and a team is going to have to pay him a lot of money and give up a first-round draft pick. There's a rumor that's going out right now that the Giants and Colts are actually in some sort of discussion between a sign and trade with him. The Colts have, I believe, the 24th pick in the draft this year. If I'm the Giants, that's not enough compensation for someone who has revitalized your team at the wide receiver position more than Hakeem Nicks has. He's a local kid. He's a fan favorite. And the 24th pick just isn't going to do it for me if I'm from the Giants' standpoint.
Oh, I agree. And right now I just pulled up the possible, you know, the list of remaining free agents. I don't know if you want to start with the remaining free agents first or the ones that have already signed, so we can break some of those down. I think we should start with the remaining.
Remaining, yeah.
Yes, and this is all courtesy of NFL.com. This list is posted by NFL.com. Sebastian Vollmer is still available. Andre Smith from the Bengals. Jake Long is available.
Jake Long is probably the most interesting name that's on this list now because, I mean, he's a former number one overall pick. He's still a really good player. He's one of the top three or four offensive tackles in the league. And with him, it doesn't even sound like Miami is even interested in bringing him back.
Well, it's not that. It's the fact that they're not interested in bringing it back. It won't work with their salary.
At the price.
Yeah, like, you know, it could be between the Dolphins and the Rams, as you're saying. you know, Jeff Fisher and Jericho both went with the Rams in this scenario, and I think Jake would probably do very, very well there. Some other notable names here, Antonio Winfield, like they said on here, would be a great short-term addition to a contender. I agree with that. Ed Reed.
With who?
Is this any addition for a contender? It's a short-term fix.
A contender, yeah. I think he would be perfect in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think San Francisco's window is going to be closing within the next 2 years. And I know that's a very difficult thing to say right now, but it's very true. It's very, very, very true.
I don't know if I agree with you there. I mean, it all depends on what your views of Colin Kaepernick are. If you think he's going to be someone who can do the job for so long, having that stud quarterback that's going to be able to lead your franchise for years is really the staple.
Well,
and he's 23 years old.
I know, but I'm saying here, this core group of guys, like just like when Eli had his first Super Bowl, that core they had for that Super Bowl had like a 2-3 year span. And like I said, it was ended up being a 2-3 year span. I think this group of guys that they have, they're going to build around Kaepernick. They're going to build around some of the key guys they brought in. But I'm saying the core group of guys they have right now, they have a 3-4 year window right now to get a championship. I mean, they're ready right now. So that's the time they'll be in the mix with a possible run. Like the Giants, a couple 2 years ago, were in the mix, and they won a Super Bowl because they had all the guys. They just got hot. I'm saying to be head above the class of the NFC, I think the 49ers have a 3-4 year window doing being the class of the conference.
Well, I also think that it's a little tougher to really extend your period as a dominant team because of free agency and salary cap, where players are going to ask for more money, even when they maybe don't deserve it. One name that comes to mind this free agency period is Tremont Bushrod, who was with the Chicago Bears. I'm sorry, was with the New Orleans Saints, and really hasn't ever stood out as one of the top offensive linemen in the game. And he got six-year, $36 million contract, which is I have no idea how he got that. He's maybe in the top 20 of all offensive tackles in the game, and that's pushing it.
Some more notable names on this list. We were talking about Ed Reed. Fred Davis is still available out there. They posted Brandon Moore, number nine. He can start 16 games at a cheap price. I agree. Some of the local names, Mod Bradshaw, they're saying the teams may wait until Bradshaw's fully healthy this offseason to sign him. I agree with that. I personally, if I'm a GM, I look at if you can get Bradshaw for a cheap price, the risk versus reward, it's worth it for a cheap price.
I still have the feeling that he's going to be back with the Giants at a discounted price. I know that there are some, but he understands that it's a business on why he was cut. It was because of his salary and him not really being able to stay on the field as much as they would like. But he does love the area. He's been a big part of what they've done over the past 6 years. And I still think that David Wilson needs at least one more year to have someone with him before he can be a full-time running back.
And if you look at some of these other names, I'm just going to go through notable names. Dwight Freeney. The Patriots could sign him in an Adam Vinatieri in reverse type of move. I don't see that happening. O.C. Umanura. Still available. OC's beginning to realize long-term offers from the Giants weren't so bad. Richard Seymour is still available. He wants some money. Could wait out teams looking for an injury replacement in camp.
He's a little too old to, I think, right now in this market to be asking for the length and the money that he that he's asking for.
Okay, and then you also have, Oshawa, San Francisco, New Orleans are probably one of those two teams are probably going to pick him up this week.
Yeah, from what I just heard a report from Adam Schefter that he's meeting with the Saints today. That, and I tell you what, that's a great pickup for them. They have been one of the worst teams against the pass for the past couple of years. And granted, Nnamdi Asamoah isn't the player that he used to be, but he's still better than anyone else they have right now.
Well, here's some notable free agent list role players. Adam Jones, I think he's done.
I tell you what, he had a pretty good year last year for Cincy.
Yeah, he did, but I think Cincinnati's going to want to get younger.
I think
Cincinnati also wants to Cincinnati also wants to have some younger guys in there, and as well as some good character guys. It's going to be hard. Beanie Wells, the Steelers checked them out this past week. We'll see what happens after that. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I'm staying away from Beanie Wells if my life depended on it. I mean, that guy makes me look healthy.
I'll tell you, Ryan Fitzpatrick was probably the shock of the week as far as being released was concerned. I didn't see that one coming. There's not a lot of obvious fits for him. There's not a lot of teams that need starting quarterbacks right now.
If you're the Jets. I think that the Jets are going to set a record by bringing in the most amount of quarterbacks that's ever been brought into a training camp.
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a minute, and we'll also get Sid Rosenberg's opinion on that. He'll be joining us around 11:30. John Abraham available. There's talk about him going to the Patriots. Brandon Lloyd got released from the Patriots, but they said he might be going back there.
The Patriots have announced that they will not be bringing him back.
Okay, so I'm just going with what
they announced
that
this morning.
Mike Jenkins, this is the best comment, says it's not really hard to find a quarterback this year. It's hard to find a really good one. Felix Jones got released from the Cowboys. He'll get a job, but there's no guarantee he'll have much of a role. Charles Woodson's going to be available. Bryant Urlacher. They say that's inevitable that he might, he'll probably be back in Chicago, but it's where, if it really happens. And then they said the best of the rest, Michael Turner, Kerry Rhodes, Kevin Cobb, D'Angelo Hall, Sean Phillips.
I know D'Angelo Hall was rumored to be in talks with the Giants. And one name that if the Giants don't bring back Ahmad Bradshaw, I know it's not a sexy name, but Michael Turner is probably the perfect complement to David Wilson. You're not going to have to give Turner a whole lot of money. You're not going to have to give him the ball a lot. But he may be able to get those 1 or 2 yards that the Giants weren't able to get last year on the third and shorts, on the fourth and shorts, which really killed them.
If you want, we can start going down some of the ones that have been signed and some of the names we just spoke about who's interested, like, for example, Nnamdi Asamoah, the Cardinals, the Texans.
There's one name that is now possibly available, and I don't know if you heard about this thing that's going on with Elvis Dumervil from Denver, but apparently the Broncos went to file that they had restructured the contract, that he was going to take a $4.5 million pay cut, but they filed it 4 minutes too late for it to be approved, and so they cut him. And Elvis Dumervil is one of the top 10 pass rushers in this league. He's one that, and he's still relatively young. He will be snatched up. earlier than any other pass rusher that's on there, even Dwight Freeney, and especially because of the age. But it was just so weird that because they filed the paperwork for the restructured contract 4 minutes too late, that it wasn't approved and that they had to cut him in order to avoid paying him the roster bonuses.
Well, I think that's a little crazy, and I think it's also a little funny to a point as well. Let's go over some of these names. They also have who's interested in him. Like, for example, Ottawa is the Cardinals, the Saints, the Texans, and the 49ers. Brandon Myers, of course, agreed with the New York Giants. Jake Long has, like we were talking about, it's between the Dolphins and the Rams. Brent Grimes has the Browns and the Dolphins interested in him. You were just talking about Elvis in this, I guess, The King Will Live. He's got Tennessee, the Patriots, the Ravens, and the Broncos interested. Antonio Correa, I don't know if this you know, you knew about this, and I had met Antonio a couple years ago at a charity event, just signed with the New York Jets.
I tell you what, he is old. I mean, it's been a couple of years since he's been at the top of his game, but when it comes to 3-4 base 3-4 defensive ends, he's as good as it comes. He was always one of the more solid, just will always go out and do what is asked of him players.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's an awesome guy, and good fit for the Jets. Same thing with Willie Collin. Willie Collin just signed on with the Jets. Nick Falk, re-signed with the Jets. We know how important he's been. Anyway.
They won a lot of games because of him.
Patriots, of course, signed. And it's funny, too, they have Brandon Lloyd here listed, and they have no teams interested. Bernard Pollard might be signing with the Tennessee Titans. Of course, Dan Connor signed with the New York Giants.
That's a solid pickup for the Giants, who have really been looking for a middle linebacker ever since Antonio Pierce retired. And I mean, it's only a one-year contract, but he has some health issues to prove that he can stay healthy. But if he can stay on the field, he may be able to lengthen the depth on the team and allow the Giants to maybe focus on either the offensive line or defensive line in the first round of the draft.
And also, by the way, Lewis Murphy signed with the New York Football Giants, or agreed to terms with the Giants. So that's another wide receiver. If they're able to keep Victor Cruz, I think this will help add stability to that third receiving spot.
I love Lewis Murphy. He's always been one of the better slot receivers in the game, just has never had a quarterback to get him the ball.
Greg Jennings, of course, signing with the Minnesota Vikings. It's funny, too. Now you get to see how good Aaron Rodgers really is. Weeks ago, you weren't on the show with us, but we were having these arguments and almost like shouting matches about me downplaying how great Aaron Rodgers is. He's an awesome quarterback, but I think we grade quarterbacks on what they can do, potential, you know, what their potential is, what they can do compared to what they are. But listen, Eli Manning is I think we use the word great too often.
Well, you can't spell elite without ELI.
Oh, okay, well, maybe I'm misusing the word. Maybe we should be using Eli, Aaron Rodgers. These guys are great quarterbacks. Well, maybe if we're talking about elite quarterbacks, as much as I don't like Tom Brady.
There are only three elite quarterbacks in this league.
Right.
And right now it's it's Aaron Rodgers, it's Tom Brady, and it's Drew Brees. Now, Peyton Manning, I guess he should be back in that, but he's now maybe a year or two from the end of his career. But the three elite quarterbacks right now are Breeze, Rodgers, and Brady.
I have to argue with you. I have to fight you on this, and it's okay too, because it's my show. I'm fighting you on the simple fact that Breeze proved last year that, you know, he can't carry that team. It's not. Breeze has one Super Bowl. Breeze has one Super Bowl on his resume. He's a great
is which most quarterbacks in this league can't say that they have.
Well, I understand that, but here's my point. A lot of his numbers, a lot of everything that he has, is also because of longevity in this league.
Well, but if you look, the first 3 years of his career were stuck in a horrible system and a horrible position for him in San Diego, and it wasn't until he got out of San Diego into New Orleans that his career took off, which was 3 years after he got drafted. So, I mean, he's now, I think he's going into his ninth year with the Saints, so he's had 8 years. But the last 3 years have just been ridiculous. He broke the all-time record for passing yards in a season. Grant, and his defense has a lot to do with it. The fact that his defense gives up as many points as it does allows him to keep throwing the ball for four quarters.
I'll go with it. It's a tough argument. Again, I this is my top 5 to 7 quarterbacks in the NFL. I have to put Brady 1, Peyton 2, because again, this is called a full body of work.
If you're talking full body of work, yes. I'm talking about right now.
I'm talking about full body of work for their
career. Right, full body of work, then of course you have to put Peyton in the elite league.
Yeah, I put Peyton 2, Brady 1. And now you have to start getting dicey because you're talking about playoff numbers, you're talking about everything in there. I put, and this is where you get mad at me, and this is okay. You now have to start putting Roethlisberger and Eli in these conversations.
They are a step below. They're there. They're right there. They're on the verge of getting there. And they have 2 Super Bowls each, which is more than Peyton has, which is more than Breeze, which is more than Rodgers. No, they have more Super Bowls than 3 of the top 4 that are on our list. There just isn't enough consistency throughout their level of play that the others have.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's a very tough. It's a tough deal. The quarterback position is, you and I have always said this, the quarterback is a very, very tough deal. You deal with the most aggravation from it.
Yeah.
I think we're now officially at a point now where it doesn't really matter what you do as far as the free agency. The free agency is almost like the, you know, putting those last few pieces together. A lot of these teams have the core from their draft.
Right.
Look at the Giants. The Giants don't like to spend money.
No, and the year that they won Super Bowl 46, that year they signed one person to a free agent contract during free agency. They signed one player, and everyone was going out saying, what's Jerry Reese doing? What's Jerry Reese doing? He's not signing anybody. We need to fill these holes. And then he magically fills holes during the draft.
He filled holes through the draft, and look what this past year he did. You know, like, I like David Wilson. I think David Wilson's going to be a good player for them. I think he's going to be the starting running back. That's fine. I have no problems with that. What I do have a problem with, and this is where you as a Giants fan are going to yell at me and call me ignorant, I think there's a difference between being quiet and being cheap. And I think they I'm not gonna say they owe Victor Cruz anything, because I think that's not right. I don't think you can say that you owe somebody anything. But Victor Cruz is the type of star they have on their team that deserves to get paid. It's not the millions and millions of dollars he probably desires, but he deserves to be making more than, was it $900,000 or $600,000, whatever he was getting paid for this year.
Right.
He deserves to be.
$390,000.
Definitely deserves to be at least at $500,000. He deserves to be in that $2 to $3 million a year.
Yes, and you know what? They tendered him at a first round level with a $2.9 million contract. That's what he's tendered as. So, and 2.9, I think, is absolutely worth it. Now, I know he's looking for a long term contract, and you know what? He probably deserves it. But unfortunately for Victor Cruz, this is not the right year for his contract to be up. If he had the previous 2 years that he had and his contract was up at the end of last year, he would be in the north of $5 to $6 million a year.
Well, not only that, but now the question comes in where, let's say Victor Cruz gets a decent contract from the Giants this year. Next year, the Giants have to pay Akeem Nicks.
Yeah. And I think that this will be the last year Akeem Nicks will be a Giant.
You don't think the Giants are going to pay him a dollar, do you?
No. I mean, unless he comes out and plays 16 games this year and catches 90 passes for 1,400 yards, I don't think that he will be a member of the Giants.
That's fair. We're going to be welcoming in Sid Rosenberg in a couple minutes. I have to ask our audience a question, and this is a very, very good question, too. Do you like the fact that the NFL has that balance where your team can win a Super Bowl 1 year and then the next year be totally out of it? That's a really, really good question. They can call in 760-283-0846. There we go. I'm a little frazzled today. It's a normal thing. It's Sunday. 760-283-0846.
No, stick with the old thing. It works for you.
Yeah, you know, be frazzled, be smooth, be subtle. All right. So we're going to be joined by Sid Rosenberg in literally 2 minutes. And the other thing that I found very interesting, Ryan, is also Sid's down in Florida. Sid's a big basketball guy, big New York guy, big Jets fan, big Giants fan, big fan of the
Oh, he's a Giant fan. Big Giant fan.
Yeah. We'll talk Giants with him. You know, we're going to talk New York Giants football with him in about 2 minutes. I think it also, you know, we have to also bring up the point, because he is a Knicks fan. The Knicks are turning out to be exactly what I thought they were going to be. I think you're going to be talking with Sid in a few seconds. He's a diehard Knicks fan. I'm wondering to see what he feels about the team right now. That's going to be really interesting to see what he thinks. They're proving right now what I've been saying all season long. And that is that the NBA season is a marathon, not a sprint. And a lot of people don't understand that. People don't understand that the NBA season, you can start off 18-5, but that doesn't mean anything in this league.
Right, especially if you play sub-500 ball for the rest of the year.
Right, and it's not the Knicks' fault that they, you know, I think they just got three happy early. And, you know, it's funny, they just are...
They were making all the threes.
Yeah, they were falling off.
Right.
So, it's not their fault, it's your fault. I blame you.
Oh, everything's always my fault. Just ask my wife.
you know, it's just the way it is.
Hi, Sid. This is Ryan Stern and Randy Zellia with Back Sports Page, Real Sports Talk Radio. How are you today?
I think we lost him. He's going to come back on in a minute. Give me 1 second. He'll be right on here. I think, Ryan, you're going to go meet him in the green room. Hold on 1 second. So like I was saying, the Knicks started off very, 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 very slow. Very hot. And it's just one of those things where the Knicks have been very, very difficult to predict, having an awful West Coast trip. Carmelo has been busted up. Tyson Chandler went down. Mari Stoudemire went down. A lot of people went down. The Knicks have a lot of work to do to prove that they're in the same class as the Miami Heat. What can you say about the Miami Heat? They're 33, you know, they're going for that 30-win streak. It's been very, very fun to watch. Watching LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and we're going to be able to talk to Sid Rosenberg about that in just a minute. Knicks fans, are you concerned about the Knicks, the fact that they're missing threes, don't have the inside presence, and can't stay healthy? It's a very, 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 very tough situation for New York fans. Such high hopes, and it looks like it went down the tubes. I guess we're right now, the NBA, Miami, because right now it's Miami, Indiana, New York. And I believe that it's Brooklyn is next. It's a very, very interesting race down the end of the way. And Ryan Stern back with me. And let's welcome in Sid Rosenberg. Sid, how are you? Randy Zellia, Ryan Stern, Back Sports Page, Real Sports Talk Radio. How are you this morning?
Randy and Ryan, I'm doing well on this Sunday morning. I'm live actually at the Boca Resort with my kids on the beach, so you may hear some kids and some water in the background, but this is what we do, dads do on a Sunday, but thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on, and I'm quite jealous as the metropolitan area is nice and gloomy as it would be on a March Sunday afternoon.
there's pros and cons of living here in South Florida. The pros are the weather is gorgeous. You're outside 12 months a year. The real estate is cheaper and all that good stuff. The cons are, as bad as the Yankees and Mets walk, there is no baseball season really down here. The sports passion, but where you guys are, take it from a guy that's worked in New York for both IMAX and WFAN, the sports passion up there is five, tenfold, whatever it is down here. So pros and cons, guys, but in the business you're in, you've got the pros.
Well, I have to start with this because I know you're a big Knick guy, and when I lived down in Florida for a little bit, you and I talked while you were on 790 The Ticket, and we were discussing a lot about the Knicks. And the Knicks right now are proving the theory that I've had in the beginning of the season, that this is a marathon, not a sprint. It doesn't matter how good you start, it matters how strong you finish.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, we saw the Knicks start off in December. They were, 18-5, looked like world beaters. Everything they did, they were doing right. This was without the services of Amari Stoudemire, without Marcus Camby. It didn't matter. Jason Kidd looked like he was 21 again, nailing threes all over the court. Ray Felton was hitting every shot that he took. Carmelo Anthony was being discussed as a possible MVP candidate. Tyson Chandler, who's really still had a good year, whipping down boards. And again, more importantly, this was a Knick team that was hitting threes, scoring, looking great on the offense, and playing great defense. And you're right, guys, as the season has moved along here, the Knickerbockers no longer play defense. They no longer hit their shots. They've been ravaged by injuries. They're an older basketball team showing their age. And this marathon, as you call it, they started out running a real good 8-minute mile, maybe a 6-minute mile, and now they're lucky to get a 13-minute mile. They're in big trouble.
Do you see either the Nets or the Celtics possibly overtaking them to take the Atlantic at this point?
Well, I think it's certainly a possibility. You know, Brooklyn is, right now, I think Brooklyn's a better basketball team. They're healthier. They've got a guy that I think right now is having the best season of any big man in the NBA in Brook Lopez. The other guys are back. You know, Jackson's been up and down with health, but he's healthy now. Darren Williams has played better as of late. So right now, their roster is better constituted, and they're playing better basketball than the Knicks. As for Boston, I tell you what, I'm looking forward, guys, to tomorrow night. You know, Miami's looking to stretch their win streak to 22 today against Toronto. If they get to 22... today against Toronto. They're in Boston taking on the Celtics tomorrow night, and that should be a real good basketball game. The Celtics have been a great story doing all this without Rondo. Went down with an injury, a while ago, and guys have stepped up. You know, those guys got back, whether it's been Lee or Terry or Bradley. They got the Hall of Famers up front still with Pierce and Garnett. And there, I think there's a chance that both Brooklyn and Boston, by the time it's said and done, can move past the Knicks. And if they don't, it doesn't really matter, because whether they win the division or not, I don't think you can take the Knicks real seriously at this point about doing anything real good in the postseason.
That's it. There's been a lot of talk about the way that Mike Woodson has been handling the rotation of the players of this team, especially the other night with Copeland starting the game, playing the first 6 minutes, and then was pretty much invisible. How do you think the rotation should be handled, or how Woodson has been doing his job with that?
I think it's all nonsense, guys. I think it's all nonsense, okay? Coaching in the NBA is absolute nonsense. I think there are guys that have won with teams that aren't great. Yubi Brown did it with Memphis. You know, even PJ did a terrific job after taking over for Avery Johnson with the same roster in Brooklyn this year. But this is the one league more than any other. Baseball is the same way. I mean, Joe Torre was a horrible manager with the Mets, a horrible manager in St. Louis, a horrible manager in Atlanta, and now he's an all-time great because the Yankees put great players on the field. The NBA, more than any other league, epitomizes that. When you've got the guns, you're going to be a great coach. I think Eric Spoelstra knows basketball. He's been around basketball since he's been a little boy, around his father in Portland. But there's a reason why Eric Spoelstra wins games. And it's less to do with him and his rotation and more to do with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and Ray Allen. So I think Woodson is in a tough spot. Early in the season, he was the greatest coach ever. He had, you know, since he replaced Mike D'Antoni, the Knicks never lost at home. He had a better record than Spoelstra for the first 4 months. And all of a sudden, what happens? Guys don't hit shots. Guys don't get back on defense. Guys get hurt, and now you question Woodson's rotation. It doesn't matter, guys. You either have the horses or you don't, and right now Mike Woodson doesn't have the horses.
And it's funny you bring up the Miami Heat as well. Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Ray Allen, Rashard Lewis, you being down in Florida. Us being up here in New York, we don't get to see them as often, though there aren't a lot of national televised games. How good is this team?
Well, you know, look, and I I'm not a Heat fan. I'm a Knicks fan. It's tough living here in Miami, and I always look for something negative to pick on, I'll be honest. But right now, guys, it's very, very difficult. You know, how good are they? Do I think they're an all-time great? Do I think they're Bird Celtics or Russell Celtics or Magic's Lakers? I don't, but it doesn't matter. I think right now they are far and away. I mean, far and away, the class of the Eastern Conference. I don't think Boston or Brooklyn or New York or Indiana even compares. When they had to go out third time around against the Knicks in exact revenge, they did it. When they had to go out third time around against Indiana during this win streak, they killed them. They blew them out. So they are far and away the best in the East. The question is, are they far and away the best in the NBA? They're going to get back to their third consecutive NBA Finals. They'll probably win it for the second straight time. I think everybody out there is looking for a team that can beat them. Early in the year was Oklahoma City. We know now that's not going to happen. He'd have now beaten Oklahoma City six in a row, four straight in the NBA Finals last year. Christmas Day down here this year, and a win on the road a couple of months ago. Maybe it's San Antonio. They've had a great season. But people question their age. Can they keep up in a seven-game series with Miami? The Clippers have come up. Memphis has come up. Heck, even Denver has come up. But the truth is, guys, at this point, the Miami Heat are far and away the best team in the Eastern Conference, and in all probable likelihood, the best team in the NBA. I'd like to give you a scenario in which they lose, because I hate them, and I'm a Knicks fan, but it's hard. I don't care if it's an Eastern team or Western team. I don't see anybody even taking the Heat to six in either conference right now. They are the best team in the NBA.
You know, Sid, we had a conversation on this program a couple weeks back, and I definitely would love to get your point of view on this. Around All-Star weekend, we had Kenny Anderson, former Nets point guard, on with us, and we were discussing with him on how to sort of fix the NBA. Because right now, if you ask a common sports fan, or, you know, not someone who's an NBA diehard, or even just a common person, about the NBA and who's the first names that they think of, obviously it's LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. Unlike the NFL, where you market the sport and the teams, the NBA markets the player. Do you think that the NBA needs to take an NFL mentality as far as their marketing?
Well, I think every league, guys, needs to get the NFL mentality. There's a reason why when I was a kid, baseball was the number one national sport. Now baseball does amazingly well regionally and amazingly well throughout the world internationally, but the NFL has surpassed everybody. So, I mean, if you're going to ask me, baseball, hockey, basketball, they can all learn something from the NFL. But I hear what you're saying. Look, the point is the NBA is a very top-heavy league. The Eastern Conference – There's a couple of really good teams, some great players. For the most part, it's garbage. Western Conference is much more competitive. You've got 7 or 8 really good teams. Let's face it, how many people are talking about the Stars with Memphis? You know, how many guys are talking about Zach Randolph? You know, how many guys are even talking about the Stars in San Antonio? They talk about Los Angeles because Kobe's a 5-time champion, and LA is a huge, huge city. They'll talk about the Clippers even because that's in Los Angeles, with guys like Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. But if you're not living in a huge cosmopolitan city, a team that maybe has a lot of tradition like New York, Boston, Los Angeles, and you're not a big, 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 big name, you're not going to get the attention in the NBA that probably you deserve. So I think it is an issue. I think the league is too top-heavy, especially in the East. I think there's lots of teams that are what they are, which are teams that are going to find a way to win 40-something regular season games, are going to pose no threat whatsoever come playoff time. And as long as Pat Riley has a way to wants to stay in the NBA and continue to bring all-stars and Hall of Fame here, I think there's going to be a bit of an issue. I think if the Heat reel off, 5-6 championships, I don't think that's great for the league. You know, one thing about the NFL, guys, is you never know from season to season who can win it. We know Brady and the Pats are going to be good. We know Manning, now they got Walker, and Denver's going to be good. You know 4 or 5 teams that are going to be good, but you cannot tell me who's going to win the Super Bowl year in and year out. Now the NBA has become the Heat League. So, you know, Kenny, who's a dear friend of mine as well, was a great player too. He knows it. He knows the NBA needs to do a better job of making the rest of these teams competitive.
Now, switching over just for the final few minutes into the NFL, what's the situation going on with Miami with Jake Long?
Well, I think he's going to be back. I mean, last time, he was in St. Louis for 3 days last week, guys, and everybody was saying the Rams are the odds-on favorite to get him. Certainly Sam Bradford can use a guy like Jake Long to protect his blind side, but after 3 days and physicals and negotiations, nothing got done. Hey, now you're seeing Miami Dolphin offensive linemen like Pouncey, like Incognito. These guys are sending out things to the press. Jake, you complete me, like from the movie, with Tom Cruise. And guys down here now are going out of their way to make it clear they want Jake Long back. So if it's not going to cost him an arm and a leg, a couple of years ago, Jake Long was considered maybe the best left tackle in football, a guy destined for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Forget about Honolulu, destined for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The last 2 years, injuries have ravaged his career. He's not nearly the same player he was 3-4 years ago, but I think he's still respected as a pretty good lineman, and I think the majority of Dolphin players and Dolphin fans at a reasonable price would like to get him back. And I think now the Rams are no longer the favorite. Now the favorite is he comes back here and plays for the Dolphins. And look, they've done some great things here. Added wide receiver Mike Wallace from the Steelers. Added wide receiver Gibson from St. Louis. Brought in former Jet tight end at an inexpensive price, Dustin Keller. So, and of course, the defensive changes as well, bringing in linebackers Ellerby from Baltimore and Wheeler from Oakland. So they've made changes. They've made the veterans here excited. They made other veterans around the league excited. And I think now a guy like Long would welcome a stay here in Miami. So it looks like right now the odds on favor is Jake Long stays a Dolphin.
Do you think that Ryan Tannehill has the ability to lead them into maybe contending for the AFC East against the Patriots?
Well, that is the $64,000 question, guys. You know, last year, it was unfair to really judge it. You really couldn't tell. He was going to war with a butter knife, But now, again, bringing in the number one free agent coveted wide receiver with that speed and that big playability, Mike Wallace from Pittsburgh. And by the way, Gibson is another guy who's got amazing speed. Both Wallace
and Gibson
spread the field. Exactly right. So, you've got some good possession wide receivers, and Brian Hartline, who they also gave money to come back. Devon Bess is a pretty solid slot receiver. But when you add that type of speed on the outside in the same free agent offseason with Wallace and Gibson, even losing Reggie Bush, you are telling the Dolphin fan we're serious here. So I think in his rookie season, it was tough to tell. Look, he's not Andrew Luck. He's not RG3. He's not Russell Wilson. And again, it was almost impossible to figure out exactly who he was with the cast of characters he had in his rookie season. But with the free agents Miami offered this season in his second year, now you can make a very, I think, intelligent determination of what this kid is going to be. Do I think he's going to be a pretty good quarterback? I do. But really, the jury is still out. And now he's got the horses to get it done.
Hey, Sid, I know you're a big New York guy, and I know you're a Giants guy as well. What do you make of the Victor Cruz situation?
Well, I think the Giants guys have one priority at wide receiver, and it's not Cruz this year. The priority at wide receiver is next year when Hakeem Nicks' contract comes up. I think everybody in the Giant organization knows that of those two guys, Hakeem Nicks is the more coveted, better wide receiver. We know Cruz put up some monster numbers in the slot the last couple of years, was an integral part of that Super Bowl win 2 years ago. But I think the Giant brass knows that their real big horse in that position is Hakeem Nicks. So they're not going to overpay to keep Victor Cruz with the Giants. There's a story today that maybe the Colts want him. Andrew Luck in that offense, Jim Irsay has reached out, at least a rumor, that Irsay has offered Victor Cruz more money than the Giants, and Cruz may cruise, if you like that pun. I don't know. You know, we'll see. But I will tell you that the Giants, to a man, are more concerned with bringing back Hakeem Nicks next year than Victor Cruz this year.
Last question for you. If you had to pick one thing to go see, would you rather go see the New York Jets or Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus?
I think the Jets would probably provide more comedy. You know,
they sort of go hand in hand with each other.
Yeah, they do. Scheme was only a couple of years ago removed from the Super Bowl, title game 2 years in a row, and it has completely fallen apart. And I know the people around the league kind of think of Rex Ryan, even Jet Banch, as a buffoon, as a loudmouth. Guys like Joe Plecko think he's part of the problem. I couldn't disagree more. I think Rex Ryan's a good coach. I think when he has the players, he gets it done, evidenced by his first 2 years with the Jets. And I think right now, I actually feel bad for Rex. They put him in an impossible spot, coming back with a football team that may have David Garrard, Mark Sanchez, and Kevin Cobb at quarterback. You're not going to win with that. He's lost a bunch of guys on defense. He's got one skilled player, which is Santonio Holmes. The jury is still out on the second-year kid of the Georgia Tech. Khalil Powell as your starting running back. I mean, they have not put Rex Ryan, who's in the final year, probably get fired next year. They have not put him in a position to succeed. So he goes from this blustery, big-mouth coach who 2 years in a row was one game away from the Super Bowl. When a poll was taken years ago around the NFL from players in Sports Illustrated, what coach would you want to play for? Rex Ryan won by a wide margin. And now the Jets have set him up really under Itzik now, who's going to want his own guy next year, to fail. So I actually felt bad for Rex Ryan and for Jet fans, and just, for Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts and Boomer and Craig and all those guys. The misery continues, guys. It's been 44 years, and it may be 54 or 64 or 84. Who knows?
Sid, I know you're on the beach, my friend. I hope you enjoy the time out there, and we'll definitely catch up soon.
Hey, I just want to promote, guys, on the way out, if you don't mind. My website is SidRosenbergShow.com. SidRosenbergShow.com. I got a real cool NCAA bracket challenge going on. It's free. Cost you guys nothing. We got some great prizes this year for the single guys out there. This is going to sound crazy, but it's true. For the single guys out there, I made a deal with my good buddy Dennis Hoff, who owns the Bunny Ranch out in Reno, Nevada. You may have seen the show, The Cat House on HBO. I'm not even kidding, guys. The winner of my bracket will be flown to Carson, to Reno, Nevada, driven to Carson City via limo, and you'll have your choice of the 50 girls in that place. You get your choice of the girl. That is about a $5,000 to $10,000 retail value. That is free if you win my NCAA bracket challenge. We've also got some cool stuff for sports fans. I've got a Dwight Gooden signed jersey. I've got baseball signed by Mike Piazza and Andre Dawson, and it's free. Just go to SidRosenbergShow.com today. Sign up. And a lot of radio guys from around the country, guys, recognizable names from WFAN, all over the country are playing as well. So you've got a chance to go up against some of the heavyweights and win some pretty cool prizes. Just go to SidRosenbergShow.com today.
That's awesome. We're definitely going to check that out. And hopefully you can come on again with us soon and we can continue the NBA back and forth. I always enjoy listening to you. And I still wish you were up here to keep us entertained.
Well, I appreciate that, boys. Thank you. And who knows, maybe one day I'll be back. But either way, you guys are terrific. And thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed myself. Enjoy your Sunday. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, Sid.
All right.
I think that might be one of the greatest interview segments in the history of that show. In this show.
He just brings an energy to everything that he does, that, and it's infectious, too.
Yeah, that was fun. Not for nothing, and I think, he and I agree on a lot of what we were just discussing about the NBA. Not much beating Miami. I've been on this show all season long, talking down the chances of, beating the Miami Heat and talking up the chances of beating the Miami. But the reality of it is, until it actually happens, there's no one going to be out there to do it. The NBA is a top-heavy league. We've had Kenny Anderson on, we've had Mike Fratello on, we've had other people in the NBA on the show saying on how the NBA is at a height of popularity that it'll never be seen again. But the problem is, it's never going to be seen again. But once LeBron and Kobe go away, who are you building your league around? Like, I can't picture Kyrie Irving or Anthony Davis as guys who are going to market the NBA name around. I just have a very, very difficult time with that. So I think, you know, Sid and I are in agreement about that. I also think we were in agreement about the Victor Cruz situation. I think we're now at a situation now with Victor Cruz. It's going to play out. And I think at the end of the day, Victor Cruz will be wearing another team's uniform.
If you take what Sid brought to the table, and he has more insight into the league than either one of us do. If you're a Giant fan, that may leave you a little nervous, because if he thinks that Victor Cruz that if Hakeem Nicks is their priority, which I'm still not sold on because of his health issues. I would hate to see Victor Cruz in another jersey.
Yeah, but again, financially, like you just said too, he and I said the exact same thing. At the end of the day, it comes down to Hakeem Nicks. You don't want it to. You don't want it to come down to Hakeem Nicks, but you have to sign Hakeem Nicks. I think he's more of a priority. There's probably about 50 other receivers in the NFL who can do what Victor Cruz does. There's not a lot of guys out there who can be number ones like Hakeem Nicks.
Right, but it's not often that you find someone that can do what Victor Cruz does, who grew up 10 minutes from the stadium that he plays in. And I really think that if you were to go out and poll Giant fans who they'd rather have on the team, I guarantee you it'll be at least a 3-1 in favor of Cruz.
I want you to also think about when Hakeem Nicks is healthy and at its best, if there's a better receiver in the NHL than in the NHL. He will be the best receiver in the NHL. That's right. I'm going on the limb saying Victor Cruz played in the NHL, he'd be the top dog. someone just put a
I'd like to see the salsa on ice, though.
I like the salsa on ice. Yeah, cold salsa, not a fan. I just think that at the same time, we're now at a point where obviously the Giants have to make a decision. Actually, it's really not up to the Giants at this point. You know, the Giants have to decide whether or not it's worth them paying that money. It's up to Victor Cruz to say. I think Victor Cruz might just have to bite the bullet and take what's offered to him, go 2 years, and then renegotiate his contract.
If he wants to stay in New York, and it sure sounds like he does, but if he wants to stay in New York, it may come down to where he has to do that. It's going to then take another 2 great years for him to get what he's asking for. Do I think he's capable of putting up those 2 years? Absolutely. I don't know if you saw this. In the history of the NFL, there are only 2 quarterback wide receiver combinations that have more 70-yard plus touchdown passes than Eli Manning to Victor Cruz. 2 in the history of the NFL, and Victor Cruz has played in 30 games. In his career. I mean, it's unreal, his canning ability to break off that big play.
That's a great stat. that's kudos to you, my friend, for bringing that stat to the table. I think right now the Giants are in another tough situation, too, because that defense is going to be a shell of what it was going into the season last year as far as name-wise. You're going to have a lot of guys you've never heard of on
right.
that.
Right, yes. Name-wise, it will be a shell of its former self. I think it's going to be a better team. One, because of health. I mean, you're also looking at Terrell Thomas. Now, I know you can't really say that he's guaranteed to go back to his former ability, but Terrell Thomas was their best cornerback. He was far and away better than Corey Webster at the height of his career. He's missed the last 2 years with knee injuries. But if he comes back, the Giants signed him to, I think, a league minimum deal. If he can come back and prove to be the cornerback he used to be, then that's already an upgrade because their secondary was just horrible last year. They did bring back Aaron Ross. Aaron Ross will be a nickel or dime back on this team. I think the Dan Connor signing is going to be the most unheralded signing that the Giants will make this year. I'm telling you, Dan Connor he's not flashy. He's not big. He's not fast. I don't know if you know any about what Manti Te'o brought to the field last year.
Oh, I would have loved
for,
to ask
for Notre
about,
Dame.
I would love to have asked Sid about Manti Te'o. Oh man, that would have been awesome.
The Dan Connor, his game reminds me a lot of what Manti Te'o was at Notre Dame. Not the biggest, not the fastest, but he's always in the right spot, and he makes the tackles, except for Te'o in the national championship game. He will always make the tackle when it comes to him.
Well, I think we also have to now move on a little bit now to talk about the topic that we were promoting, about the going pro a little early. If you're an NCAA student-athlete, I think this is more of a basketball standpoint than it is the NFL. I think that the NFL-NCAA relationship is very strong. You know, they purposely put the three-year rule. And so, you know, they have somewhat of a maturity level going into the National Football League. But the problem is with the National Football League, sometimes immaturity still rules, as we still have probably the more out of the four major sports, there's the most legal issues coming from the NFL. And that's mostly because they have so much dead time to themselves there.
Well, that and also the rosters are more than double of what the MLB rosters are. They're 2.5 times the size of NHL rosters, and they're 5 times the size of NBA rosters. So, of course, there are going to be more incidents because there are just so many more players. When it comes to, I think it's not so much about the maturity level with the whole three-year thing with before you are allowed to enter the NFL. I think it's just about a pure physical ability because and there's no doubt that the NFL is the most physical of all the major sports. I think it's tough to ask an 18-year-old who just got finished playing high school football against maybe like the captain of the Mass League to then go and play up against someone like a Ray Lewis. I think that is more the issue with the three-year rule in the NFL than it is the maturity rule.
On the basketball side of it, I think there's a major problem.
Yes.
And it's a problem that the NBA refuses to acknowledge or even help the NCAA with. The problem was back in the day, I think Kenny Anderson might have been one of the first 19 to 20-year-olds to come around into the league, you know, like leaving after 1 or 2 years. So there was players, I think, who've done it beforehand, but I think he was the most notable.
Right.
Kenny said he was the youngest All-Star
In NBA history?
In NBA history, yeah. And I think that is correct. The NBA has an issue now. You know, they say
at the time that he made it, because I'm sure that's been broken now with the rules.
Yeah, with the rule changes and so on and so forth. There's been obviously more, but he was the first. And
right.
I do believe at this point they are now at a point where you have kids who are just playing overseas instead of going to college. Even for the 1 year, that are going overseas and playing, like in Paris, France, and Paris and France are the same place, right? Okay, yeah, good. our producers are giving me the look like, yeah, Paris and France are the same place. They're going over to Paris, they're playing over in Spain, they're going to all these different places, going to Israel, and they're coming back and registering for the NBA draft. And that's why you end up having all these steals in the second round, late first round of the NBA draft. There's all these great players coming out because of that. And it turns out to be an issue because they're only requiring 1 year out of high school. You play in, you'll be playing, you can't be full registered from high school. I hate the rule. I think they should do what the NFL does. Have to complete 3 years. You can't be in the league over the age of 21. Because I got to tell you something else, just from a legal purpose. If you bring in these kids that are 19, 20, playing in the NBA, they're going out on the road and they're playing.
Right.
There's no watching them. There's underage drinking. You can sue the NBA.
Yes, absolutely. But what I do think, now I don't know if that will necessarily help college basketball. The college basketball that we knew will never be back, because if you do extend the rule to 3 years before you play in the NBA, I do think that you're going to find a lot of kids leaving high school, and if they think they're good enough to play professional basketball, to go over to Europe, to Russia, to China, Israel, where there are a lot of professional leagues that don't have these rules, and they're going to start making money.
Again, you can never tell a kid, don't go out there and earn a living. You can't go out there and get a job. I think the NBA is now at a tough point because it's hurting
their product.
I think it's a real tough, ugly situation. There's just so much to go with on that. I think right now the NBA is, again, a real tough spot. You just have to understand where it is as far as the growth of the game. Because when you have guys who are coming out, let me use a different example. If you're going to school to become an accountant, are you going to say, I'm going to leave after my first year of school, second year of school, you go become an accountant, I have a firm here is going to give me a full ride, full-time
right.
job? It doesn't happen.
No.
You have to get the proper training, you have to go to school, and you have to learn all the facts about it. I think the players that went to college and played and were seniors and graduated from their particular school that went into the NBA usually have the more instant success. Because they're in their prime. They have a good understanding of the game. That's why you don't have a guy like Kenyon Martin, who just signed with the Knicks. He's a great pickup because he knows how to break down the system because he had a great college coach, had a great eye for the game, a great eye for the great NBA, just such an overall great mind for the game of basketball. You have a lot of guys who are street ballers in the NBA.
Right, and there's one guy who comes to mind when you're talking about players that did go all 4 years, and maybe the most unheralded player on the, by far, the best team in the NBA, the Miami Heat, and that's Shane Battier. Shane Battier is maybe the most complete player that isn't a star in this league. Shane Battier knows how to play defense. he knows how to move without the ball, and he can sure shoot the hell out of the ball.
Yeah, he's a great player and from Duke. I think Duke for a while only had, I think, one underclassman go to the NBA. I think the first one was Elton Brand. And that's
Elton Brand, yep. And then Luol Deng and Kyrie Irving. There still haven't been too many, but Mike Krzyzewski had the knack for finding the players that were going to stay 4 years.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Mike Krzyzewski is not looking to breed NBA players. He's looking.
Oh no, he doesn't care about the NBA. He cares about Duke and Duke only.
And then Calipari is not that way at all. Calipari jumps from school to school.
Right.
And you know, and that's one of the things I liked about Patino too. Even though Patino's moved around a little bit, he is not anxious about the NBA product. He's not worried about developing players for the NBA. He's interested in his program. He's done an excellent job in Louisville. I don't think it's a bad gig for him in Louisville. But I think right now it's a product of the system that all the colleges, I really do think that the NCAA and the NBA need to have sort of a sit down and work together to make it a better situation.
Right. And speaking of Louisville right now, if there's a team that's playing better basketball than them, I don't know who it is. I mean, if I were to fill out my bracket this second, I don't know how I wouldn't pick Louisville.
That was something else last night, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
We left the restaurant last night, and Syracuse was up 15 points. They were up 15 points, and I'm like, well, this is going to be a real tough game for Louisville to come back on. And we went over, we were at the Palisades last night, and we were watching, and we were just walking around, and we came back, we went into Dave & Buster's for a little bit, played a couple games, and we left Dave & Buster's, and then we walked past Buffalo Wild Wings, and they had the game on, and I looked at, you know, I looked at my girlfriend, and I basically said to her, look, I just looked at Louisville came back, and she's like, that's crazy. Her exact words were that crazy. We left the restaurant we had dinner at. They were up 15 points. I'm not going to name drop. I know I said Dave & Buster's, but I really don't want to name drop businesses because they don't pay to advertise here. So why give them any love? You know, why give them any love whatsoever? Really quick, let's do what to watch for this week. Like this is a topic where you can go so in depth with. If you have any comments on this or feel like you want to join in, 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. The other thing we know what to watch for this week, and Sid said it best, I know tomorrow night my eyes are going to be glued on whether Boston can take down Miami or not. I really do think that Boston could. I don't know in a seven-game series, but I know they can probably push Miami. Let's be realistic. You're 21-22 games. In this league, you're playing a bunch of Clevelands, a bunch of Torontos, a bunch of a bunch of Detroits. You're going to win those games.
Right. But and it's funny because everyone's talking about the streak and when it may possibly end, and people are starting to get into when they have to go to Boston, when they have to go to San Antonio. Watch out for the game that they have to play in Toronto. Toronto is a completely different team since they acquired Rudy Gay.
Yeah, they're different.
I just have that feeling.
I love the dynamic they have between DeMar DeRozan and Rudy Gay, and then they just need to. And I like Barniami, but Barniami is more of a perimeter big man, and they need a guy who can bang.
He's Rasheed Wallace.
No, because by saying that he's a poor man's Rasheed Wallace. Because Rasheed Wallace.
Well, of course, he's not as physical as Rasheed Wallace was, but. He offers the same, and I guess, or maybe the comparison is better if it's a Dirk Nowitzki, but again, a poor man because he's nowhere on the level, but it's the same type of game that he offers.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also the part of Rasheed Wallace, you know, here's a little fun stat. The Knicks were on fire with Wallace in the lineup.
Yeah, I said that, and as soon as he went down, the first thing that came to my mind is they're not going to be the same because Rasheed Wallace, I mean, he was giving them, what, 10, 15 minutes a game. But those 10, 15 minutes a game, he had his plus-minus numbers were ridiculous.
Yeah. And
but he was averaging plus 10 a game, playing 10 to 15 minutes a game.
I still think the Knicks are in trouble. And I think that,
yeah.
I don't care what anybody says to me, I think that there's a still, I think the Nets still have a West Coast trip to go, so I'm not ready to, let's say the Nets are going to win the Atlanta division. I think the Celtics have a very, very good winnable schedule. And you might see the Celtics win this, if the Celtics win this division again, I think all bets are off. The Knicks have to make a lot of serious changes, and I think that they're in, I think it's a free fall for the Knicks.
Obviously the Knicks are in a free fall, and I mean, Stoudemire's out for the rest of the regular season. Who knows what you're going to get from Carmelo or Tyson Chandler coming off their injuries. It sounds like neither one of them are going to play against the Clippers today. But I personally think, and you may yell at me for putting the jinx on, but I think the best team in the Atlantic Division right now are your Brooklyn Nets.
Look, I don't own them. I don't know why they're mine all of a sudden. I'm not even.
You've been the only. You and Evan Roberts have been the only people that I know who have admitted to being Nets fans as long as I've known you.
Well, I thank you. Well, I thank you for that, and I appreciate that. I'm going to give you a fun stat if you're ready for this. Rasheed Wallace went down December 13th. Okay, keep that date in mind. He went down on December 13th. And I'm going to give you the team's record at that point. Give me 1 second. We can pull that up.
Yeah, that must have been just before they finished 18 and they started 18-5.
Yes, it was around
It was around Christmas time that they were 18-5.
Yeah, they were 18-5, and they were playing extremely well. I just sounded like the Joker there, and I took your little plan and I turned it on itself. I love that. So here we go. At that point, when he went down, the team was 17-5.
Wow, look at me. Look at me.
That's very impressive. You get a gold star today. Okay, so let's mark this down. 17-5 when Wallace went down. Let's get up to networks. Okay, now.
Yeah, carry the one.
17-5.
What's the square root of pi to the ninth?
All right, and yes, it's the train left exactly at 9 p.m., and another train left at... Okay, here is the math. You ready?
And they're 21-20.
And that is correct. They're 21-20 since Rasheed Wallace went out. He was the anchor of that defense. Stoudemire, it's not about Stoudemire, man. It was about Rasheed Wallace.
Absolutely. And it just so happened to be that it was right around the same time that Rasheed Wallace went down that Amar'e Stoudemire came back. It was, I think, 2 weeks after that. And granted, Stoudemire he was playing well while he was there, but there was something wrong in the chemistry of the team. And like I said, they were 12 games over 500 with Rasheed Wallace, and they're a game over 500 without him.
That's a problem, brother. If you're a Knicks fan, you've got to be really upset. Now they're third place. Third place, and they can fall. I think I might be right. Let me see the standings.
The Nets are only a game out. Two in the loss column, but the Nets are only a game out, and I don't see any way the Knicks are beating the Clippers today with without Carmelo, without Chandler, without Stoudemire, without Rashid, that all of their size, and what are the Clippers loaded with?
Okay.
They're loaded with size.
Here's the scary part. You ready? Okay. Let's take Miami out of the equation. They're number one. Okay, we're going to go 2 through 7 because Milwaukee is not doing anything. So Milwaukee could just stay where they are. I'm happy with that. You have Indiana at number two. The Knicks are a half game back from Indiana from the number two spot. But they're not playing like they can fight for two spot.
Right.
You have Brooklyn, who's a game back, one game behind New York. And then you have Chicago, Boston, and Atlanta.
All tied with the same record.
three games back of New York.
Right.
I said at the beginning of the season, this is where you can, again, yell at me. I had Boston 1, Miami 2, Indy 3, Philly 4, and Brooklyn 5.
That was a good one.
Well, at the time, we had Andrew Bynum there. We had all these different things going on.
Did you really think that Andrew Bynum was going to make a difference? Did you even think he was going to be on the floor?
Well, I was under the assumption that Doug Collins was going to find a way to make everything work. And the only thing that Doug Collins is sort of accomplishing right now is his own ticket out of Philadelphia. with that being said, so we're substituting Milwaukee for Philadelphia. I said Atlanta was going to get in, and I thought Atlanta was going to be 8, so they're number 7 right now. This was, again, my original top 8 for the beginning of the season. Boston 1, Miami 2, Indy 3, and Philly 4, obviously that's changing, Brooklyn 5, Chicago 6, New York 7, Atlanta 8. That was my original 8. So I have 7 of the 8 in there, which is not bad. And, again, pretty predictable for those teams. I think you looked in the beginning of this season too, everybody would have been filling it there as well.
And it's fine because that goes back to what Sid Rosenberg brought up earlier. These conferences are just so, especially the Eastern Conference, are just so top heavy. There is a clear difference between the top half and the bottom half.
Exactly. With that being said, Boston can still win this division.
Oh, they can. Absolutely.
Let's real quickly. I'm going to do this. Let's go through the rest of the Knicks schedule real quick. And you say
there's a lot of losses built in there.
Well, let's go over. Let's see. Let's do a little math. Let's see if the Celtics can make up those three games. Okay, versus the Clippers today.
Loss.
Utah on Monday.
At Utah is a completely different team at home. They're not going to see the same Utah team that they blew out about a week ago. I'm going to put that down, especially if Carmelo and Chandler are still out. I'm putting that down as a loss, too.
I think even if Carmelo and Chandler play, that's a loss. Because, again, like you just said, the Jazz, don't forget what happened, and they also I think that's just a loss. Wednesday against Orlando.
I'll put that in as a win.
Okay. Back-to-back, or, you know, home-and-home with Toronto.
So we'll put that down as a split.
Okay, so right now you're 2-3 on that. At Boston.
Right now you have to say Boston's the better team, especially at home.
Okay, so that's a loss. Home against Memphis.
That's a loss. Memphis is probably the best team that no one talks about.
Okay. Home for Charlotte.
I'll put that as a win because I think there are half of the NCAA teams can beat the Charlotte Bobcats right now.
That's fair. Versus the home for Boston.
I'm going to put that as a loss.
Okay. In April at Miami.
Tough one.
at Atlanta.
I'll give them a win. Atlanta, Atlanta doesn't match well up against the Knicks.
Home for Milwaukee.
I'll put that as a win, too.
Okay. at Oklahoma City.
Loss.
Home for Washington.
A win.
At Chicago.
Loss.
At Cleveland.
Win.
Home for the Pacers.
Loss. The same way that I said that Atlanta doesn't match up well against the Knicks do not match up well against Indiana.
Okay. At Charlotte?
At Charlotte and home to Atlanta to finish out, I'll say that those are two wins.
Okay. So here's the Knicks record, in your opinion, through the rest of the way. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 wins. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So in the last 19 games, you have them going 9 and 10. Okay.
Which is pretty much consistent of what they've at the team that they've been over the last 2-3 months.
Fair. That's fair. Celtics schedule. Celtics are a very tough team to judge, too, by the way. Okay. Let's see if they make up these three games. Home for Miami.
I still think that they're going to lose to Miami.
At New Orleans.
Win.
At Dallas.
Win.
At Memphis.
Loss.
At the Knicks.
Knicks, we put that. Yeah, we put that as a Celtic win.
Okay.
Just looking at their schedule, I don't see after the game in Memphis. I don't see a game that they will lose until they have to go into Brooklyn.
Okay.
On April 10th. So I think that they're winning throughout there, but then I see them losing to Brooklyn, losing to Miami, and losing to Indiana. And beating Orlando and Toronto.
So you think there's a very good possibility that the Celtics make up those three games?
Oh, absolutely. But I also think that the Nets can make up one game easier than the Celtics can make up three.
Okay, well, real quick, to be fair, I'm going to open up the Brooklyn schedule. Real quick, tonight versus Atlanta.
Atlanta win. Atlanta, I don't like the way they match up.
With Brooklyn.
Right.
Then you're on the road for...
That's a long time.
That's a long streak away from this.
That is. I think it's an eight games?
Yeah, you have Detroit, which is a win. Dallas, which might be a loss. I just think that's your letdown game. I think they'll lose a close hand to the Clippers. They'll beat Phoenix. They'll beat Portland. They'll lose to Denver because Denver's unbeatable at home.
It's unreal the way that they're playing at home. They're playing at home better than Miami is.
Yeah, they're the best home team in the NBA. And
I think they only have 3 losses at home all year. It's unheard of.
Yeah. They'll beat Utah. They'll beat Cleveland. They'll lose to Chicago. They'll beat Charlotte. They'll beat Philly. They'll lose to Boston at Boston. They've split with Indy a lot this year. So I'm going to call that a loss just in Indy. They'll beat Toronto. They'll beat Washington. And they'll beat Detroit.
So there's a good chance that the Nets win the division and the Celtics finish in second.
Yeah, I think there's a good possibility. I think the problem with the Nets is they're just so inconsistent.
Right.
Some of these games that we're calling given wins can just easily be given losses. And I think there's a good chance that the Celtics, I have more faith in the Celtics winning the division than I do the Nets. And the Nets already came out. That's saying something. So, real quick, I don't know this is a little off-sport topic. I have like 4 favorite shows that I love to watch. One of them they actually have on now, which is called Bar Rescue. Spike
Jonze. Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen that.
We were joking around. I forgot who I was with. I think it was we were talking with a guy like Chase Blackburn. We were talking about his favorite shows. And this is before I started watching Bar Rescue. And when we were talking with him and sitting down with him, he was like, I love Bar Rescue. Because I can sit there and I can watch Bar Rescue all day. And then I looked up on how many episodes. I said, I wanted to say to him, like, you can watch 20 episodes all day. Like, even if they repeat, like, that's real difficult because there's only like 20 or 30 episodes total. great show. Other shows, hey, we're getting a little bit of variety so we can get the sound off here. I don't know if you also heard they're bringing back Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, I saw that earlier this week, and that was one of my staple shows that I watched every week. It was on like 10:30. I always watched it on Wednesday nights in bed. I was so psyched when I think who put it out on the tweet that it was coming back.
I know. I put it out on Facebook that it was coming back.
Yeah, but one of the Colin put it out on Twitter about a week and a half ago that it was coming back.
And it was so nonchalant about it.
Yeah, it was like, I think the tweet read, like, by the way, Whose Line's coming back?
Yeah, he goes, by the way, Whose Line's coming back? More details later. More details later. Just like, how do you be so nonchalant about it? It was so funny, the way he said it.
The website BuzzFeed, you know how the tagline is, where the points don't count. Someone that works for BuzzFeed actually watched every episode of the ones that Drew Carey hosted and added up the points. And Wayne Brady won by something like 40 million points.
with
Ryan Stiles coming in just behind.
my favorite thing ever on the show. And it's not even the Richard Simmons stuff. Not like they had a bunch of they had Hasselhoff on. My favorite thing that they ever did on that show, and when Colin is so underrated.
Oh, absolutely.
I think like he's the type of like when I was in college at WRPR, we had Colin on with us. He came on and promoted a couple of different projects he was working on. He was in the city, and he said the one thing he always wanted to do was play. The only thing he's never done in his career is take a role in a series and actually, you know, play a character for more than 30 seconds at a time.
Uh-huh.
He's never had that opportunity. And I think to this day he's never had that opportunity. So when this came back around, I sent an email to his and asked if the person who I spoke to years ago is still his representative, and they said, yeah. I said, how does Colin feel about coming back to Whose Line? He said he still wants to have that role where he's on something more than three episodes. And so he wants to be able to grow as a character. I just thought it was really, really funny that the show is coming back now. I just think it's great. After all these years, it's still one of the most popular shows ever to hit TV. From once ABC put it on Overkill. They put it on every single night because they were sure every single time they canceled television shows, they just put more Whose Line anyway. And so I think when you do that...
Oh, Philly got canceled. Let's throw in Whose Line.
Yeah. Let's. Oh, okay. According to Jim, it's just... So let's put that in. So, Ryan, it was a good show today. Very good show. You hit a home run. I'll give credit where credit is due. Ryan is the one who got Sid Rosenberg for today. He knocked it out of the park. Awesome job. Hopefully you'll be back on with us soon. All the love to Jose, who still has a lot of different personal things going on. Don't know when he will be returning. So as far as I know, next week we're sort of playing it by ear. The week, I believe, not next week, but 2 weeks from now, we're going to be on a special Friday night edition of Real Sports Talk Radio. The big daddy over here is going away to Florida for a couple days. Yes. Oh, even I need a vacation. With that being said, Ryan Stern, thank you very much again for coming on. I give you the bow. And We will talk soon.
Yeah.
Check us out on Facebook, Real Sports Talk Radio, on Twitter, at give your Twitter handle real quick.
At RyanStern33NYR.
All right, and I'm RZellyaBSP. I got to change that. I have to change my Twitter handle to something like RandyBSP or something like easy so people can find me. My last name is not easy to spell.
No.
I'm working on it. It's like they say in the movies. It's a working title. With all that being said, Ryan, thank you very much. We'll see you soon. Everybody
yes.
else, see you next week.